Hi there. We are in this dispensation of grace until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in this age, you can be saved by grace through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is God's unearned and undeserved favor. Grace is an unmerited benefit from God to the undeserving. And Peter exhorts us to minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. But many Christians consider grace to be just some nebulous term, and consequently they abuse grace. That's why we must beware, lest we receive the grace of God in vain. For there are three F's to avoid in the school of grace: failing of the grace of God, frustrating the grace of God, and falling from grace. I have a question. What is your status in the grace of God? I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News? As believers, God has ordained us to be custodians of His manifold grace. Now, this all sounds well and good, but for one problem, most Christians don't know what the manifold grace of God is. So when Peter says we are to minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, many of us draw a blank. What exactly is God's manifold grace? Well, the word manifold means diverse or different kinds. So manifold grace means diverse kinds of grace, or, more accurately put, diverse operations of grace. There are many operations of grace that the Bible discloses and other operations of grace that we don't even suspect. For Ephesians 2:7 says that throughout the eternal ages to come, God will be revealing the exceeding riches of His grace toward us, showing us kindness by Christ Jesus. And the Word of God exposes us to several diverse operations of grace, such as the sufficiency of grace. Grace can justify us. Grace can be multiplied unto us. Grace can teach us. Grace can help us in our time of need. Grace can establish our hearts. And grace enables us to minister the word of His grace to edify the saints. There are unlimited operations of grace, for even our gifts differ according to the grace given unto us, for we go from grace to grace. And these are just a few samples of the many diverse operations of the grace of God in the Bible. Moreover, as stewards, we are to be primarily concerned with the word of His grace, which God has committed unto us as those who will give account. For God has exalted His word above all His name, and name means authority. And He has committed that word of His grace unto us, for it to be preached unto all nations. We are commissioned as Paul was to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And as stewards of the gospel of grace, we are to stand in defense of this gospel against anyone who would pervert this gospel of Christ. As Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. And Paul said this twice and quite emphatically. Paul also said, we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel of the grace of God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all the saints. You see, God gave us the word of His grace so we could minister it unto the saints for the building up of the body of Christ, and to minister the word of His grace to sinners so they can be converted and they can have an inheritance among the saints. This gospel or good news which He has committed unto us is a serious responsibility, for it builds up His body and it saves sinners. That's why if anyone preaches any other gospel than that gospel of the grace of God, they are accursed of God. For grace is a saving element of sinners and a building element for the saints. For Peter instructs us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And one way to grow in grace is to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Because God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble, as it is written. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you will always have all sufficiency in all things and may abound unto every good work. Another way we can grow in grace is by going to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need. And lastly, We can grow in grace by having it multiplied unto us by gaining more knowledge of Jesus Christ. As it is written, grace and peace are multiplied unto you by the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And why is grace and peace multiplied unto us by our knowledge of Christ? It's because Jesus was the word of his grace, for Jesus was the word made flesh that dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He was full of grace, for in him did all fullness dwell, and of his fullness have we received grace for grace. For grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. For Jesus is the God of all grace, and he bestows it upon us liberally as we learn of him. Because when we learn of him, we are built up and we grow strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus by learning of this one who is the grace of God in truth. And if you increase in grace by learning of him, you shall never fall from your own steadfastness. For there are pitfalls that you must avoid, or you can receive the grace of God in vain. For there are three F's to avoid in the school of grace. Number one, failing of the grace of God. Number two, frustrating the grace of God. And number three, falling from grace. And one of these F's, if not all of them, are detrimental to your spiritual growth. For the most serious offense is to fall from grace, because if you fall from grace, then the hell beneath your feet awaits you. Now, according to scriptures, only sinners can fall from grace, and they do so by neglecting so great salvation, as it is written, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, because salvation is by grace through faith. Therefore, if a man does not believe the reports of the gospel of the grace of God, then he is destined for hell. And the report of the gospel of the grace of God is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins, they shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel of grace, which is by faith in Jesus Christ apart from our works. And the way a person falls from grace is to ignore Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and try to get into heaven by their own efforts of keeping the commandments or doing good work. Because Galatians 5:4 cuts them off at the path, stating that Christ profits you nothing. Whosoever of you are justified by keeping the law, you have fallen from grace. And that's the only way the Bible says that you can fall from grace, regardless of what anyone may tell you, preacher or not. You don't fall from grace by sinning too much. You don't fall from grace by not going to church. People fall from grace by trying to keep the law to gain salvation. And millions of good people will be cast into hell because they trusted in their works to justify them before God instead of placing their trust in Jesus Christ and his finished works at the cross. And Jesus spoke of these people when he said, many will say unto me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils in thy name and done many marvelous works? Then, he says, I will declare unto them, depart from me, ye cursed, into hell. I never knew you. Notice, they called him Lord, but they were depending upon their own marvelous works to save them instead of depending upon Jesus' finished works at the cross, which were provided for them by the grace of God. For we are saved by grace, and in Romans 11:6 says that if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if you're saved by works, then it's no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You see, grace and works don't mix. It cannot be a mixture of both. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And Christ will profit you nothing. For salvation, a sinner cannot ignore Christ's finished works at the cross and try to depend upon his own marvelous works to please God, because they won't. Because the scripture says it's not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. Only sinners can fall from grace by trusting in their own works and keeping the law for salvation, instead of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ who kept the law for us. Now once a person has believed on Jesus Christ, then they are saved, because they have their sins forgiven. And they experience the new birth, which is Christ being born into their hearts. And that's when the person is actually saved. And a saved person can never fall from grace, but a saved person can stop growing in grace. And this is the second F to avoid, failing of the grace of God. Hebrews 12 tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And in that same chapter in verse 15, it warns us to look diligently unto him, lest one of three things happen unto you. And the first thing listed was failing of the grace of God. We all know it's difficult to keep our eyes on Jesus during our trials of faith. And sometimes we, as Peter, will take our eyes off Jesus and begin looking diligently at the waves and the contrary circumstances, and we begin to sink. And it's during these times that you must purpose in your heart to look diligently unto Jesus to give you grace to help you in your time of need. Because when you stop looking unto Jesus, then you are failing of the grace of God because of your unbelief. And the flow of grace that would have helped you is hindered because of your unbelief. When you take your eyes off Jesus and start looking diligently elsewhere for help, that's how you fail the grace of God. So let's be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus by looking diligently unto him with our eyes of faith. Because although we are born again and we cannot fall from grace, we can fail of the grace of God by our unbelief. And the last F to avoid is frustrating the grace of God. Paul said in Galatians 2:21, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness could come by the law, then Christ died in vain." Most Christians are guilty of frustrating the grace of God because many Christians, after being saved by grace, they will try to go back under the law. And that frustrates the grace of God because we are not under the law but under grace. And it's very easy to tell if a Christian is frustrating the grace of God. All you have to do is ask them one question: how are you saved? They'll say, "Well, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins, but I also believe that you got to keep the law or you can't be saved." These are they who are frustrating the grace of God. Because if you ask them, "So, you believe in keeping the commandments. Well, do you keep the commandments?" They'll tell you, "No, but I do the best I can." And then you tell them, "Well, your best is not good enough. That's why it took heaven's best, Jesus Christ, to fulfill the law for us." And after he fulfilled the law for us, do you know what he did with the law? And usually they'll say, "No, what did Christ do with the law?" Then you tell them, according to Colossians 2:14 and Ephesians 2:15 and 16, Jesus Christ, after he fulfilled the law for us, he nailed it to the cross to abolish it because it was contrary to us. So he slew it at the cross to take us out from under the law and to put us under grace. And when Christians try to go back under the law, that frustrates the grace of God, because you can't grow in grace under the law, because there is no growth in the law. The law is the strength of sin. It's not the power of God unto salvation. It's the strength of sin unto death. The law was called the administration of death, and grace is called the administration of righteousness. When we draw back and go back under the law, we stunt our growth in grace and therefore frustrate the grace of God. And the majority of Christians right now are frustrating the grace of God concerning their righteousness because of their lack of knowledge. Many Christians go around and try to establish their own righteousness by the works of the law. And they have not learned that Jesus Christ is made unto them righteousness, and he imputes his righteousness unto us, not because of our good works or good deeds by the law, but because of our faith. Our faith is counted for righteousness, but they are ignorant of God's righteousness, and they go about trying to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, which is by faith. And Paul said that when you try to establish your own righteousness by the works of the law, you are frustrating the grace of God. For if righteousness could come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Therefore, he said, "I don't frustrate the grace of God by trying to keep the law." Galatians 2:21. So let's avoid the three F's in grace. Remember, only sinners can fall from grace by doing despite unto the spirit of grace, by ignoring Christ's finished works of the cross and trying to rely on their own efforts of keeping the law to justify them in the sight of God. And Christians, let us not grieve the spirit of grace that seals us by our unbelief, because that's called failing of the grace of God by not looking unto Jesus to give us grace to help us in our time of need.
Also, let us never frustrate the grace of God by thinking that we become more righteous or earn God's blessings because of the works of righteousness which we have done. Let's avoid these three F's in grace: failing, falling, and frustrating the grace of God. I hope your status is that you are growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And remember, grace is multiplied unto you by your knowledge of Jesus Christ. I am James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?